Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to continue talking with Dr. Charles Jackson, otherwise known as Dr. J, about some of the lies, some of the fraud, some of the misinformation that you find in our school textbooks. And we're just going to pick right up where we left off yesterday. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right in.
Interesting. So even junk DNA is starting to be abandoned? That whole concept?
The junk DNA concept was officially found not true in September of 2012. And most textbooks and teachers just haven't heard about it. But all of the research journals know. The people who are in genetics, they all know there's no such thing as junk DNA anymore.
And junk DNA is still being taught as fact in our textbooks, is it not?
Yep, it sure is, and it's right there in the chapter on proofs for evolution.
Because I engage in so many various debates online, and I try to stay away from debating online because usually people just troll you and call you names, but I still am cruising through so many different forums, and I see this, and junk DNA is always thrown around as a proof of evolution. I'd love to devote an entire podcast to that subject and really drill down.
It would be awesome. It was all the reports came out on September 6th of 2012. And you can just see, they all came out in big, giant reports from all around the world, and that was the end of junk DNA. But, of course, many of them aren't going to give it up. They just love the idea. Now, a lot of people who are listening to me and you right now talk are going, well, Dr. Jackson's not being very specific. He just says there's no junk DNA. He just says the appendix has a purpose. No, you can look it up. The junk DNA, what we found out is everything, we didn't know what it was doing because it wasn't making a protein. We didn't know what it was doing. Turns out it was telling all the other genes that do make proteins how to make the proteins, when to make the proteins, how much protein to make every time that gene activates. So it turns out that what we called the junk was actually the nerve center of the entire genome. It was the processing center. It was the master control center for all the rest of the genes. These are homeobox genes, regulatory genes, master control genes. So these things we call junk actually were coordinating all the activities of the genome that still function. So 98% of the DNA was actually telling the 2% what to do and when. Only 2% of our DNA, maybe 4%, did we actually figure out what it was doing because it made proteins. And because it actually made a product, we could trace it back to the genetic sequence that the amino acid sequence was coded for by the triplet codons in the genes, and we could actually trace every protein in our body back to the genes that were making it, and so we identified the use of that gene, but that was only 2% of our DNA, and since we're so smart, if we couldn't figure out what the other 98% was doing, then it must not be doing anything, so we immediately christened it junk DNA and also christened it as proof of evolution. All this DNA was just all this junk accumulated in the attic of our nuclei, left over from back in the day when we were worms and rats and fish. And this arrogance was an incredibly profound stupidity led on by our egos. That's all. And they did the same thing with vestigial organs. All those organs, they couldn't figure out what they were doing. We're so smart, if we can't figure out what they're doing, they must not be doing anything, and therefore it's proof of evolution. So the same exact horrid logic that they used and humiliated themselves a generation ago with vestigial organs, they did it again with the exact same thinking. They did it with junk DNA and horribly, horribly humiliated themselves. They're not admitting this yet with the junk DNA in large circles, but the leading geneticists of the world are absolutely horrified that this has happened. the guy who did the MIT and Harvard chimp genome project and stuff, the human genome project and chimp genome project stuff. I'm forgetting his name at the moment, but he said, this data is just blowing my mind. Now, guys like him are really interested in this and think it's awesome that we've learned this new stuff, and he's just excited about the new knowledge. But on the side, he realizes, well, we were wrong about it being proof of evolution. But most evolutionists who are the troll types don't want anybody to know about this. The emperor has no clothes, and it really, really shows evolutionary dug-in mindset as the anti-science profound stupidity that it is. It's ignorance. It's all based on ignorance and not on good thinking, good logic, or good science. Sorry, you got me ranting.
No, you're doing great. This is great stuff. I don't know too much about junk DNA. That's been one of those subjects that I've been intending on digging down deeper, because I hear it over and over and over that junk DNA, you know, that there's all these extra portions of DNA that have no function. And my immediate response, again, just like you, all you're telling me here is that you don't know what that extra portion of DNA is doing. You don't know what it's doing. It's not necessarily junk. You just don't know what it's doing.
It's called the argument from ignorance, which is what they accuse us of doing in the God of the Gaps thing. We don't have to do God of the Gaps, but they need their Darwin of the Gaps stuff. You see, the more we actually learn, the more problems an evolutionist has. The more we actually discover, the more of their favorite things just are destroyed by new knowledge. But our case gets better with every new discovery. Now, what's that tell you?
That's interesting. Yeah, the Bible stands, and it continues to stand firm as the Word of God, unshaking. It hasn't been proven to be wrong. It stays the same, but science continues to change as, again, I love science, so do you, but these theories of man that are thrown on top of the evidence that they observe, the philosophy of science, I suppose, they just continue to change and change and come up with new theories that get knocked down. They teach it as fact. They put frauds in front of us and claim that it's fact until they find something else. For example, so many times I hear that God's design is imperfect. And they throw up examples like our eyes. Like, shouldn't our eyes resemble the eye of the octopus? The eye of the octopus is so much better than the eye of the human. And so many other examples that God supposedly made an imperfect creation. But yet we come to find out there's a reason why the octopus eye is different than ours. Do you have any examples of that?
Well, the eye of the octopus is very similar to our eye. The eye of the octopus has a verted retina instead of an inverted retina. All life forms on land, like us and eagles, have what's called an inverted retina, where some of the tissues are actually that are in support of the back of the eye actually lay on top of the light sensing cells in the retina. The nerves and the blood vessels and other tissues lay on top of them. And you'd think that's backwards, but actually this helps in the light being focused and not overheating the tissues. Plus, you cannot argue with success. An octopus may be able to see very well underwater, but an eagle has an inverted retina like you and me, and an eagle can see a fish under the water from a mile away. I mean, you can't argue with success. It works very, very well. So to say it's a design flaw and that God must be a bad designer, that is also, I'm sorry not to say this, but that is a very profoundly ignorant and stupid thing to say. And people who are smart, now I want to make this point to you, Michael. I'm saying that evolutionary thinking is stupid and ignorant, and it is. But evolutionist scientists are not stupid people. They're not ignorant people. They're highly educated, highly intelligent people. Many of them know more than me and are smarter than me. But they're still wrong. They're still believing because they wish to. They're still believing stupid and ignorant things and always having to deny the truths before them and the real science in order to maintain that position of stupidity and ignorance. It's them, not us, that are ignorant and believing in stupid and ignorant things. And you mentioned the Bible. Yes, I think the Bible's true. I think it's word from God. I believe in God. I believe that all of this, but if there was no God, if God really was dead and the Bible never existed, science would show us that evolution is not possible. Just the science shows us that. But of course, the answer that all things were made by him and for his pleasure and everything was created by him, that the Bible says this. Not only has the Bible, does the Bible make a lot of these kinds of statements, but like you pointed out, none of them has ever been proven wrong. Lots of people have said they were wrong and made arguments about them being wrong, but there's never been any science that goes against the Bible. Only scientific opinions and theories, no scientific data.
What about man's supposed ancestors? All these different finds that like Lucy and Cro-Magnon Man, Neanderthal, Piltdown, Nebraska Man, Java Man, Ramapithecus, Peking Man. What of these? You know, they give us these different various ancestors of man, and they teach us this as fact. Is it fact?
Oh, absolutely not. The Bible says God created humans, God created monkeys. God never created any monkey humans, but evolution requires that monkey humans had to live, that there were these early ancestors, these little monkey-looking things that were the ancestors of monkeys and people. They don't believe that monkeys are really our ancestors. They're our cousins. That way back then, some little furry, two-legged, two-armed thing that looked kind of like a monkey and a person was our great-great-great-granddaddy. And some of those kids from that turned into monkeys, and some of them turned into people. Well, there should be these monkeys on their way to people things and ancient monkey on their way to modern monkey fossils laying around. What they need to do is find some bones then that look the way that something like that should have looked, and that's what they're always desperately trying to find, and they even call it the missing link. Everyone's heard the word missing link. So if God said he made all the kinds reproducing after their kinds, that means he made all the monkey kinds and he made one humankind. Okay. Now here's what we actually find. There's no such thing as Cro-Magnon or Neanderthal anymore. Now the scientific name for Cro-Magnon now is Homo sapiens. The scientific name as of 2005 for Neanderthal is Homo sapiens. Who's that?
That's us.
That's us. It's now, we're Homo sapiens sapiens, and Neanderthals are Homo sapiens neanderthalensis, which is just another tribe of humans, like Caucasians and Africans and Native Americans and Asians. This is just another breed of humans that is now extinct. So Cro-Magnon you will never see in any book ever again because they found out those were just people. And for 50 years, we creationists have been saying that Neanderthals were people, and now in 2005, they finally realized that they're just people. So all of these missing link fossils, all the dozens of ones that they'll put in the textbooks, either are easily identified as a monkey or a human. And so these monkey humans are being removed from the real understanding of science, and they're left with no missing links. Lucy was 65 pounds as a full-grown adult female, 3.5 feet tall. This is a chimp. And they had to somehow imagine that she could walk straight up and down instead of bent over like a little chimpanzee, you know, running along on their knuckles on the ground. Lucy probably did walk and run like that, not like us. Lucy's brain was one-third the size of ours, exactly the same as a chimp, and the hip was connected to the leg bone in the same way as a chimpanzee's. Now, they had this cockamamie story about how Lucy's hip was accidentally damaged and only looked like a monkey hip. Really, 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 when Lucy was alive, her hip looked like a human hip, and she walked just like us and had toes like us and thumbs like us. But none of the data supports that, just wishful. And so a lot of evolutionists are abandoning Lucy now and going for Aurora tugenensis as our ancestor, but that's got problems too because many authorities think that Tugenensis belongs in the same genus as all the other Ardipithecus fossils, Ardipithecus cadaver, Ardipithecus ramidus. And as a result, the Ardipithecines have now been proven not to be in the lineage of humans. They have characteristics about where their fossils are found, how deep their fossils are found, and the structures of their bones that make them even worse as candidates to be in the line of fossils that should lead from the ancient creatures up through monkeys to us. It just gets worse for them all the time. So there are no monkey people, just people and monkeys. All those missing links are a problem. Whenever I ask an evolutionist in front of an audience to name one, even one missing link, they either give me one that's easy to knock down, or they pretend not to know one, or they'll just say we don't have any that we call the missing link, and we don't like that word anyway. We just call it the node, and the node is the ancient missing link fossil that we just don't have, and we believe it's there. And you're stupid, Dr. Jackson, because you don't believe in the node, and that's just double talk.
All right, I'm going to stop right there, friends. Come out to my website, youthapologeticstraining.com. I have a lot of articles there as well as a podcast archive, a lot of resources to help you in building you up in your faith and also helping you defend your faith. And so with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.